Questions about Russia continue to dog the Trump administration. At this point, what are the top questions that you have?
One of the first things I want to know about is what's going to come out of this attack on the Syrian army airbase. It seems to me that what we have now is a question of two fairly unpredictable rulers who both have reasons to create some diversionary tactics that are going to take attention away from their domestic problems. So that's a worrisome thing to me.
And we know that Iran and Russia are the only countries so far that have opposed the missile strike last week on Syria. What's your sense of how that might impact U.S.-Russia relations?
I think it's going to flush them down the drain for the immediate future, frankly. One thing that we were seeing is that Russia was already backing away from the sort of glee that people there felt after Trump was elected. And now I think, well, you recall what happened, for instance, when Turkey shot down a Russian fighter bomber. Relations just absolutely deteriorated completely. And there was a lot of angry rhetoric going back and forth. Russia put sanctions in place against Turkey that were very costly to Turkey. And if you read the Russian media at all, you would believe that Turkey was a historical enemy of Russia that just had to be crushed sooner or later. But it took no time at all for them to return to very friendly relations as soon as it became politically convenient for the two leaders. And I think that's what could happen here again.
You spent 4 years as NPR's Moscow correspondent. What was it like for you working as a reporter in Russia?
It got more and more difficult as time went on, as the Putin regime became more repressive and more, frankly, overtly anti-American. In fact, my last summer there, if you were in Moscow and you were following Russian media, you would believe that the United States and Russia were on the brink of war. There's almost a war hysteria. Russian officials were saying things like, if Hillary is elected, she's going to surround Russia with nuclear missiles. NATO is pushing up to our borders. You know, and all of that, of course, went away after the election, when Donald Trump was elected. And as I say, people there were quite gleeful about the result, or at least they were for a while. Russian analysts that I talked to acknowledge that they regard Donald Trump as an unpredictable personality. So they weren't altogether sure what it was going to mean for him to be president. But in many ways, it would have been a win-win situation for them, because on the one hand, they said, well, if Donald Trump is willing to deal with us, and especially if he's willing to reduce or eliminate sanctions against Russia, that would be an absolute win for us. If Donald Trump creates a certain amount of turmoil in the United States and detracts from any American foreign policy moves, that's also a win for us, because it gives us a free hand in the rest of the world. And if Donald Trump reverts to basically the default American foreign policy under President Obama and President George W. Bush, for that matter, it certainly won't be any worse for us.
Were you surprised when reports surfaced last year of Russian meddling in the U.S. presidential election?
I wasn't surprised, because, as we know, they have a very strong cyber presence, you know, and they've been exercising it and experimenting with it for years now. For instance, not only they've interfered in other elections, they've used a lot of cyber warfare and propaganda in the war with Ukraine. We've seen this going on, and we've seen it developing. I didn't really have a sense of how sophisticated it might be. And I think we got to look at that. And we're going to find out a lot more when we see the results of these investigations.
It used to be in the U.S. that Republicans were more hawkish on foreign policy, but now polling shows that Democrats, by a fairly significant margin, are more concerned about these reports of Russian meddling than Republicans. What's your explanation for that?
I think it's simple politics. Both parties are probably deal in a certain amount of hypocrisy all the time. But when something favors your person, then it's not quite so bad. I think it's as simple as that.
And I know it's difficult to look 3 or 6 months into the future, let alone multiple years. But what do you see in the future for Russia, for the time when Vladimir Putin does pass from power and a new leadership takes over?
Well, one thing I think is that it's going to be a long time before Vladimir Putin passes from power, because he's a relatively young man. He's only about 64 now. He appears to be in excellent health. And there are many reasons why it would be inconvenient, if not dangerous, for him to leave power. He has the autocrat's problem, which is that if you leave power, you must make sure that your successor is absolutely loyal to you and will protect you from any criminal prosecution that might result from things that happened during your reign.
Former NPR Moscow correspondent Corey Flintoff, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thanks, Ian. It's a pleasure to be here.